If you have a copy of the Word of God, Gospel of Mark, chapter number 4. Gospel of Mark, wonderful, wonderful gospel that the Lord allowed John Mark to record. I believe as he sat at the feet of great men like Peter and listened to them give an account of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's life. And we find that in Mark chapter number 4, we've been looking at some parables. Now, parable literally means to lay alongside of. And we find that Jesus took the everyday, the ordinary, the things that were common to the folks there living in that day, in that time, and brought spiritual truth from those common things. And we find that once again tonight, Mark chapter 4, verse 26, I want to look at two parables. The growing seed, as it's been termed, and the mustard seed. And I want to preach to you tonight with the help of God on this thought, God's glorious garden. God's glorious garden. Let's stand tonight in honor and reverence for the reading of the Word of God. Mark chapter 4 and verse number 26. The Bible says, "And He, being Jesus, said, So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said, Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it." And you may be seated tonight. We find here that Jesus in these two parables has a central theme, and the most central of the theme is the kingdom of God. I want to remind you tonight of what the kingdom of God truly means. Now, we hear that term used many times and in many ways as to what the kingdom of God might refer to, but in its strictest sense, in its most narrative sense, we find the kingdom of God describes literally the dominion and the rule of the Messiah. Jesus wanted to bring instruction. He wanted to give guidance unto those that were nigh to Him, and that they might know what it meant to be a part of God's kingdom, what it means to be a part of God's family, what it means to be a part of the whosoever will. Amen. What it means to be a part of that chosen few. What it means to be a part of God's church. What it means to be a part of, as I termed earlier, God's glorious garden. My friend, we find that the kingdom of God here not only describes the dominion and the rule and the reign of the Messiah, but it also speaks of His power. It speaks of His royal power. It speaks of His dignity as if no other ever has had, nor ever will have. Only Jesus Himself is Lord. And we find that He gives some guidelines unto you and I here in these two parables, that we might know what it means to be a child of God, that we might know what it means to be a part of the kingdom of God. Now, He uses some agricultural terms. He uses some common things in the folks that live in that day and time, because they knew what it meant to try to raise a food for a family. They knew what it meant to try to provide sustenance so that the body might receive nourishment. And we find the Bible gives us direction here. I believe, first of all, according to God's glorious garden, that there needs to be some preparation. Now, you and I all know that it'd be awful hard just go out yonder and just look at a parcel of ground and say, well, I believe I'd like to grow some herbs here. I believe I'd like to grow some taters, and I'd like to grow some beans, and I'd like to see some corn brought forth, and just look at that place and go out there and try to see those things come up without first of all doing some preparation. I believe that Jesus gave the parable of the soils in the beginning of chapter number 4, and that preceded this parable so that those folks might know what it meant to have prepared ground. Hey, we find there in verse number 4 that He talked about that wayside ground, that hard ground. We find He talked in verse number 5 about that stony ground that was mingled and mixed with hardness. We find the Bible describes there in verse number 7 that there was a thorny ground, a ground that was full of thimbles and briars. And wherever the seed was laid forth therein, that it got choked out because there's too much other junk in the way. But we find that He says there in verse 8, and other fell on good ground. My friend, I believe that the only way that a child can grow in the kingdom of God, the only way that fruit can be brought forth in God's kingdom, is if first of all, that prepared ground is good ground. My friend, that's a working that only God can do. Amen. Hey, I'm here to tell you tonight that each and every one of us come from a different place. Each and every one of us come from a different background. Each and every one of us come from a different mindset or a different type of feeling that we had in our life concerning a holy God. Some of y'all were awful soft. Some of y'all were not too hard. Hey, you weren't too wicked. Oh, you hadn't got out in the world too much. Been brought up in the house of God. Been sat under good preaching, good singing all your life. And that ground of your soul had already been prepared. But some of you had never been brought up in church. Some of you might have been brought up because you had a drug problem. Mama drug you. Daddy drug you. Grandma drug you. Only reason you're at church was because somebody drug you there. You did not have no desire. You did not have no longing. But we see that God foresaw that you might be under the Word of God. And my friend, it takes the Word to get prepared. Hey, some of you had a hard heart. Some of you had bitterness. Some of you had jealousy. Some of you had some harshness within you. And God had to do a preparing work on your heart, on your soul, before the seed of the Word of God could be placed therein. But boy, I'm glad for the preparation of the Holy Ghost, aren't you? I'm thankful for the preparation of the love of God. I'm thankful for the mercy of a holy God that He might prepare our hearts for the Word. My friend, we see here the Bible gives us direction here that it takes good ground. And we also see that there's not only the preparation of the soil, but there's also the planting of the seed. Hey, the Bible describes there in verse number 26, it says, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. Now, he's literally talking about scattering around. He's literally talking about throwing it out there. He's literally talking about casting it upon the earth. Now, we find in verse number 31, we find that in the parable of the mustard seed, that it is sown into the ground. It is placed into the ground. And so we find here there's two different types of ways in which that seed meets the ground. But my friend, I ain't going to get caught up on those types of things. The emphasis is that the seed was sent forth. My friend, the soul is your soul, and the seed is the Word of God. Well, I'm thankful for the Word of God. Amen. I'm thankful for the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I'm thankful for that which God has preserved. I'm thankful for that which God has kept. I'm thankful for that which God did not hoard, but praise His holy name. He allowed it to be brought forth unto you and I. Hey, I'm thankful that we have the ability to have this Word before us tonight. I'm thankful that we have the opportunity to have the Word of God before us tonight. It's the Word of God that brings light. It's the Word of God that brings knowledge. It's the Word of God that brings illumination. It's the Word of God that unveils what a holy God's will is for your life. And I'm thankful for God's Word. So my friend, we see that it's the planting of the Word of God. Look what the Bible says. It says as if a man should cast seed into the ground. The Bible says there that when it is sown, as it's described there in verse number 31. So we find here that what shall we compare the kingdom of God to? It says in verse 30, whereunto shall we liken? What is similar unto the kingdom of God? Well, we find these agricultural terms are very similar. So we see the preparation. We see the planting. But now we see the promotion. Hey, I'm thankful for what God does after the seed's been planted. I'm thankful for what God does after the Word of God has been placed in our heart. I'm thankful for what God does for you and for me through His Word. It's something only He can do. Amen. Hey, the Bible describes here in verse number 27, He says, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. And then the Bible says, He knoweth not how. My friend, we find the Bible tells us there in verse number 31 that it says, and when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches. I'm here to tell you what, that there's several things that go into the promotion of that seed. There's several things that go into the promotion of that ear of grain. There's several things that go into the promotion of that mustard seed. And my friend, we find that it is something similar to what you and I have within the Word of God. Now you think about a garden. What does that garden need? It needs plenty of sun. Amen. It don't only need plenty of sun, but it needs plenty of rain. Hey, I'm thankful for the Word of God that brings illumination. I'm thankful for the Word of God that brings light unto you and I. But I'm also thankful for the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Hey, that brings showers of blessing. Oh, they might be disguised in a trial. They might be disguised in a tribulation. Oh, they might be disguised in a time of hardship. But my friend, nevertheless, we serve a God that knows what we need. Need far better than we do. And I'm thankful that because of His love and because of His mercy and because of His grace, He brings unto us just exactly what we need in order to what? In order to grow. That we might be promoted. That we might be growing. Now, you think about all the things that come into effect as a child of God. What it takes for you and I to grow. My friend, it takes the Word of God. If you're not underneath the Word of God, you will not grow. My friend, it takes the Word of God in your life. It takes more than Sunday morning Bible study. It takes more than preaching Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You say, well, ain't that enough, preacher? Hey, we're here an awful lot. Hey, I'm thankful that you're here. I'm thankful that you don't just have a love for your church and a love for your pastor, but you got a love for Jesus. And I'm glad you're here on Wednesday night. But my friend, it takes more than that. It takes you having a longing every morning when you rise to give the Word of God. It takes a desire to get underneath the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God, even on the outside of the walls of this church. My friend, it takes the Word of God, but it also takes a lot of prayer. Amen. It takes you praying for yourself. Saying, God, I don't want to be what I was yesterday. I don't know exactly what I will be tomorrow. But God, I want to be what You'd have me to be. And there's a hunger inside of you and a longing inside of you and a thirst inside of you to be better than what you were the day before. My friend, there's something inside of you that's got a want to be what you'd have God, what God rather would have you to be. My friend, there's a promotion there. My friend, we find that it takes intercessory prayer. Hey, I'm thankful. Hey, I would not be standing here tonight. I would not be before you here tonight if somebody else hadn't prayed for me. Amen. I'm telling you, what growth, a growth in the life of a Christian does not just come for one praying for themselves, but it comes from others interceding, calling upon Jesus, praying that God would come by, praying that God would minister to their soul, praying that God would arrest their heart, praying that God would give them leadership, praying that God would give them direction, praying that God would give them the ability to discover what the perfect will of God is for their life. Why? That they might grow. That they might grow. Hey, it takes a lot of grace. Amen? It takes God's unmerited favor for you and I to grow. It takes mercy. It takes God's loving kindness in order for you and I to grow. My friend, I cannot comprehend it. I cannot understand it. I don't know how it works. My friend, scientists for years and years and years have studied plants. And they've studied how that they grow. And my friend, we can learn how to grow grass. Hey, we can learn how to grow trees. We can learn how to grow flowers. Hey, we study it all out. And we know that it takes a process of light and moisture for photosynthesis to take place. And for those types of things to work. And it takes some fertilizer. Amen. It takes a little bit of oomph. It takes a little bit of energy, extra energy being put into that plant in order for it to grow. But whenever it comes right down to it, a scientist cannot explain to you how something really grows. Hey, the Bible says there in verse number 27, it says, "And should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow." And he said, "He knoweth not how." How? He knoweth not. How? He knoweth not. My friend, I'm telling you what, I can preach to you till I'm blue in the face, or I'm red in the face, or I'm purple in the face. I can preach to you till the sweat runs off my brow, and I ain't got no voice left. But I'll tell you what, that ain't going to help you to grow. Hey, I can pray for you, and I can pray for you, and I can pray for you, but my friend, that ain't necessarily going to help you to grow. I can ask God through the power of the Holy Ghost to come by and to minister unto your heart. And I know that He has the ability. But my friend, all I can do is ask. I can't make you grow. What is it? What is it? Hey, there's something inside of that seed that has a desire and a longing and a want to do what? To grow. To promote. My friend, Ronnie can take, and he can take somebody and he can dress him up in a Pepsi uniform. He can give them a van to drive. He can give them a truck to drive. He can say there's a paycheck waiting on the other end, but he can't really make them get out yonder and sell drinks. Huh? I can put somebody in a pair of West Coast boots. I can put on the finest saddle. I can give them a set of bachelor hooks. Hey, I can give them a nice hard hat. And I can say, right there's a tree. Go at it. But my friend, I can't put that on the inside of them to make them want to go up. Amen. This man works in a pro shop. He can outfit them in the finest duds. Give them the best set of clubs. Put them through all the lessons. My friend, he can't make their golf game. I'm telling you what, it takes something special on the inside, and it's only what God can do. But my friend, it's something that has to start on the inside of that seed. Whether it's cast out there or whether it's sown in the ground, hey, they say that mustard seed, it's the smallest of all seeds. And they say that some folks have tried to refute that and say Jesus was incorrect because there are seeds that are smaller than a mustard seed. But they say that you can actually take a mustard seed, and you can crush that mustard seed, and you can grind that mustard seed up, and there's a fine black powder inside of a mustard seed, and that fine black powder is really the seed. My friend, I'm telling you what, it's the seed within the seed. Amen. Hey, you take an orange and you think of that orange as being something that's there to bring sustenance and promote life and give nutrition and give good vitamins. But my friend, there's something greater inside that orange. What is it? There's seeds inside of seeds inside of seeds. My friend, I'm telling you what, there's something that God wants to bring forth out of you. There's something that God wants to bring forth out of me. How, preacher? I knoweth not how. Only God knows. But what we need to do is we need to get the right promotion. Amen. Hey, we need to get the Word of God in our life. Hey, we need to get prayer in our life. Hey, we need to pray the power of the Holy Ghost. Might come by and minister unto our soul and say, God, help us grow. God, help us grow. God, help us grow. You know what promotes growing sometimes? Pruning. Huh? Some of you need to have a bunch of things maybe pruned out of your life. There's some things I need pruned out of my life if I'm going to grow in the way that God would be satisfied with. Hey, if I'm going to be a part of God's kingdom, if I'm going to represent Him in His glorious garden, my friend, there might need to be some pruning take place. Now, that ain't within the text, preacher. I know that's just extra. Amen. I'm telling you what we need to do is we need to see that if God is really our God, if we're really part of the kingdom of God, there's got to be some promotion going on in our life. My friend, sometimes it takes sacrifice. Sometimes it takes suffering. Sometimes it takes trial and tribulation. But my friend, do you want to grow? That's the ultimate question tonight. How bad do you really want to grow? How much do you want to see our church to grow? How much do you want to see our families that make up our church to grow in the nurture and the care of the Lord? It takes promotion. How, preacher? Hey, I know if not how. That's what the Bible says. But my friend, the Bible says, for the earth bringeth forth fruit. Amen. Hey, there's not only preparation, there's not only planting, there's not only promotion, but praise God, there's production. I'm telling you what, if you're truly a part of the kingdom of God, there shall be fruit in your life. If there's no fruit, my friend, there might not be no root. Amen. There might not really be a born-again relationship in your life that gives testimony and testifies and gives witness unto a lost and dying world that you truly know Jesus. My friend, we find the Bible tells us here that there's production. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. Now, a lot of times we think that it's talking about corn, but he's literally talking about wheat, or a grain, and that head in that grain is referred to as an ear, and that kernel of grain is referred to as corn. So the Bible says here that she bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. And then we find that there's fruit that is brought forth. My friend, if there's no fruit in your life, my friend, you need to ask yourself, am I truly a part of the kingdom of God? Might need to go back to having some promotion going on in your life. Might need to step back and ask God to help you. Bring some water from glory. Bring some nutrition and some sunlight from the Word of God. So we find that there is production. Hey, the Bible describes in verse number 32, it says, but when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs and shooteth out great branches. That mustard seed, which we're thinking of, is in our own mind, is a little different from the mustard seed that grows in Palestine. For the mustard seed in Palestine grows into a tree. My friend, averages somewhere between 8 and 12 foot tall. And they say that they grow fairly fast, fairly quick. It goes from something that's really small, something that's almost minute to the human eye, and grows up into being what in comparison would be a large, large herb. My friend, I'm telling you what, that's exactly what God wants to do in your life and in my life. When we have a longing to grow, when we say, God, promote our life, promote our witness, promote our study, promote our Christian life, help us to grow. My friend, there'll be production. My friend, there'll be something that'll be evident in your life, that you might be a strong tree in your family. Men, God's called you to be a tree in your family. God's called you to be that one that your family can look unto. And my friend, we find that all of us need to strive to attain that high calling of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hey, the Bible says there, and it shooteth out great branches so that what? So that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. My friend, I'm telling you what, when there's production, there's also protection. Amen. I'm thankful for the protective hand of a holy God. He says that the fowls of the air, as the Bible says there in verse number 32, that they may lodge under the shadow of it. To lodge means to have habitation, a dwelling. It talks about a resting place. My friend, I'm glad to know that if I'm in the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ is my Savior and He's my dearest friend, that He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. I'll always be protected in His care. My friend, there's also provision there. Amen. I'm thankful that He provides nurture. I'm thankful that He provides care. I'm thankful that He's always there when I call upon Him. Hey, amen. Hey, the Bible not only teaches us that through production there's protection and provision, but there's also preservation. Hey, the Bible describes there in verse number 29, "But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately He putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." My friend, I'm telling you what, there's going to come a day in which God is going to harvest. There's going to come a day in which God is going to call all the children into the kingdom. There's going to come a day in where everybody will be in the kingdom of God that's been born again, that's been born from above, that's in right standing with their Lord, that's in right standing with the Savior. How do you get there, preacher? You got to come by the way of grace. Amen. Hey, you got to go God's way. You got to go by the way of the Word of God. And the Bible says, unless you've been born again, you shall never enter the kingdom of God. You've got to be born from above. You have to trust in Christ. Believe He is the Savior. Believe He's the Son of God. Believe He died upon the cross. He is placed in a borrowed tomb. But on the third day, He arose. Amen. And when you're born from above, there will be preservation eternally forevermore. Hey, I've got peace tonight to know that my name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Why? Because you did good works, you did good deeds, you told somebody this or that. No, because I fell on my knees one day, and I called upon God for mercy, and I begged God for grace, and I believed that it was the straight and narrow way that we find given unto us in the Word of God that brings forth salvation. Why? Because the broad way is a way into destruction. Hey, that broad way is a way that leads to hell. Just as on that day of harvest for the children of God that will enter into His courts with praise, my friend, there's going to be devils and demons welcoming sinners into hell because they rejected God's way. My friend, I'm thankful for that good ground. Amen. I'm thankful for the preparation of a holy God. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, my friend, you might be right there. You might be in a place where God's preparing your heart. You might be in a place where God's preparing your soul because He wants you to trust in Christ. He wants you to believe in Him. But boy, if you're saved tonight, y'all be able to shout and say, "Thank you, God, for preparing me. Thank you, God, for planting me. Thank you, God, for promoting me and continuing to promote me." Amen. Hey, that's something that ought to be natural for the Christian, is to grow. Hey, every plant, it's natural for them to grow. And if you're not growing naturally, that word right there that we find in verse number 28, "For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself." That word "herself" is where we get our word "automatic." Hey, it ought to be automatic, natural. It ought to be something that just comes easy for a Christian to do what? To grow. My friend, if you're finding yourself struggling to grow, my friend, you need to ask yourself, do you truly know Jesus? Do you truly know Christ? If you do, then it might just be a matter of saying, "Lord, I'm sorry. I've not been reading like I ought to read in Your Word. Not been praying like I ought to pray. I've not been seeking and hungering and longing for the things of God the way I ought to. Got my eyes on the world. Got my eyes on the things of this flesh and the things that are going rust and decay." Need to be thinking about eternal things. My friend, where are you at tonight? Where are you at tonight in God's glorious garden? Are you there? Are you growing? Are you longing? That's the whole emphasis of this parable, is to grow. How, preacher? I can't tell you how, but it's inside the seed. It's inside of you. It ought to be there. It ought to be natural. Every head bowed and every eye closed tonight.